gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Tim Ryan, Democrat of the great state of Ohio, coming up in about a half an hour to check on the latest on the tax deal standoff. Oh, it's so exciting. In the meantime, it's Friday, and I remember that means something. Oh, I know.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fuglesang.
On fire.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah. Word.
That's
good morning,
right.
John.
Good morning, Bob Dylan music as my female repellent. Good morning.
Good morning, John Fuglesang, live from the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here in the empty studio. I feel like I'm at a Nobel Peace Prize ceremony because I'm facing empty chairs all around.
Yes.
It's so lonely here without you guys, 3,000 miles away in my isolated cell.
I've never seen the New York Bureau.
By the way, we have had a detente in our Democratic circular firing squad. I'm back in my happy place. Why? Because Lawrence O'Donnell and Alan Grayson kissed and made up last night.
Good.
Wasn't it beautiful? Did you see it?
No. I did see it, yes.
Mm.
They
I don't like when my peeps
camera.
Fight. Mm. Yeah, that's why I said he was a little rough on Alan Grayson, and so he was. But I thought he was a stand-up guy, Lawrence O'Donnell. He said he called him and apologized, and Alan Grayson graciously agreed to come back on.
They are the world. They are the children.
Yes, because we can have disagreements, but you know, I'm sure he got a little talking to from MSNBC.
But you know what? If
you're not going to ever get any guests again if you rip them a new butthole every time they come on.
But I love that because that's exactly what Democrats and progressives and liberals and sane people should take heart with is how at MSNBC you've got Chris Matthews and Lawrence O'Donnell who are hell yes we love the deal. You got Rachel and Keith who are opposed to the deal. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Fox primetime anchors being divided over something?
I know. Exactly. That's what I've said, John, is I love the passion on both sides. I love Ed Schultz's passion. I love Lawrence O'Donnell's passion, and I think that's where it came from. But, you know, I think there is, and you know this, you know, the difference between when you go on as one of the left-right warriors on those shows and when you're the host. You know, I think that everybody really comes from a good place in terms of what they feel and why and that they really care about people. So I applaud it all. I do.
My goal is to alienate everyone because I think both sides are completely right this time.
I know. I thought maybe it's just a Libra thing.
No. I'm just a confused Virgo. But look, it's a horrible deal that spells long-term doom for our country, and it's going to save lives in the short term. It's going to save Christmas for millions of families. There's a lot of good and bad that'll come from this.
Well, look at you. You're a combatant in the war on Christmas now. Look at you.
I know.
Saving Christmas.
Here I am, fighting myself.
By the way, can I just say something? So they lit the White House Christmas tree. Christmas has arrived in Washington. President Obama lit the National Christmas Tree, a 40-foot Colorado blue spruce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chris, I never thought I would say this, that I miss anything from the Bush administration. I do miss Karen Hughes putting the star on top of the White House Christmas tree.
Look at what he can do!
Bumbles bounce.
I miss that that moment with the bumble. I really do.
If you're just tuning in, Stephanie Miller misses Karen Hughes. Planets aligning at 11.
You know, it was because it was a whole thing. You could hear her coming, and you knew it was time. It was that time of year. That's where I'm obviously indicating that I would like the giant footsteps. Thank you, Chris.
And she would put the star on top of the tree and say what a great job President Bush did.
Exactly. All right. So, a lot happening. It's, wow. First of all, by the way, Chris, I was told you yesterday I was in a I hate everybody mood because I got one of those emails. Oh, see, all you care about is don't ask, don't tell because you're gay. I'm like, oh, for the love of God. I care about all of it. And I'm
that's
hoping.
The only reason you care. What?
And honestly, but you're right, John. You don't even know who to blame anymore for all this stuff.
I only care about it because I'm a confused straight person.
95% of yesterday's show was about the tax deal.
I know.
What are they talking about?
I know. Anyway, the point is.
Hate is going to hate.
Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins say that they're going to introduce a standalone bill, so there still is a chance please God, that we can get Don't Ask, Don't Tell done. But, I mean, it was typically disappointing, this debacle yesterday with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And you don't know, clearly, you can always place blame at the Republicans' feet because that is just unprecedented. This, and it's so ridiculous on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But at the same time, John, I don't know what you think. You just go, did Harry Reid handle this right? How did he not know that he didn't have the 60 yet? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, Susan Collins is saying... I mean, granted, the Republicans' objections are ridiculous and make no sense at this point, but it...
Well, there's good news and bad news. Every time we tear our hair out over Harry Reid, the Democrats always say, look, Harry's the best in the world at counting votes. He counts votes. He counts votes very well. Apparently, he's, you know, got some Mr. Wizard skill. He's Rain Man, and he can count better than the rest of us. So Harry Reid's the vote counter, right? So it turns out Harry Reid's not a good vote counter, and they don't have the votes, and they're going to kill it again like they killed the Dream Act. And,
but they've been saying from day one, this is why I've also, one of the reasons I've been advocating for the tax deal, because they've said it clearly, they will not vote for anything else, and that's the reason we lost the couple of votes, is they aren't until we get the tax deal done.
Exactly.
So, and at the same time, I'm telling you, John, if Democrats end up torpedoing this tax deal, we are going to look like the biggest bunch of stumble bums in the world, and we're going to take the blame for it. I mean, if they're going against their own president...
Well, we're already stumble-bummy. If we win, we're stumble-bummy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's the minority controlling the majority. I mean, it's pretty stumble-bummy from the get-go.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're exactly right. But there's a good thing about Don't Ask, Don't Tell failing again. And that is that now you can just club the Republicans with the fact that they are not patriots. They do not take national defense seriously. Yep. They are not real conservatives, and they want the government in your private life. They are bigots, and they are unchristian because you can't use the New Testament to say that being gay is wrong. So if you want ammo against your Republican brothers and sisters, they handed it to you.
Yeah, I mean, let's take just the bigoted part of what you just said. I mean, the Dream Act, the fact that that's some crazy liberal tchotchke, I mean, seriously, that shows you who they are. They do not believe in any path to citizenship for anybody.
Oh,
I mean,
unless
someone
Ronald
that
Reagan
came here
it.
As a kid that had no, you know what I mean, that didn't on their own, obviously that's not your choice when you were a kid. They've been here since they were kids, and they want to serve in our military when we're in two wars, and no.
But that's the beauty of it. The Dream Act is so much more conservative than what Ronald Reagan did. What Reagan did, he just gave amnesty to every Mexican living illegally in the country.
How would Reagan feel about not passing the START Treaty?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just the whole thing.
They betrayed Reagan. Yeah. They betrayed. This is so much better than what Reagan did because it is more conservative than what Reagan did. It's making people who are here undocumented earn their right through serving in the military or going to school. It's fantastic. It's good for the long-term growth of the country. It's good for the bottom line financially. And these guys are never allowed to say they love Reagan again because they just peed on his legacy.
Speaking of which, in a related story, the breaking news on my ongoing email.
Yes.
War with my Republican brother. So I did not have the restraint, John. I did not. I sent the letter last night. I got a standing ovation from both sisters. And to this morning, I can't even read this. It's like, this is seriously, because you have to look at this.
Talking point
soup? It's got to be 3 pages long.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Did Frank Luntz get credit for it?
But I'll just, well, here, give me a little bit of a letter to my Republican brother music. I won't take you through the whole thing. You've all been there. You know what I'm talking about. Dearest sister hanger, because he hung me once. For the first time ever, I have moved one of your emails from my delete file back into my inbox and against my better judgment have decided to respond.
How brotherly.
Yes. Though I've vowed not to get sucked into an endless hellhole chain like he gets into with my sister. Okay.
Is he listening right now?
As you know, I do this for a living and don't normally take time from my busy media whoring schedule to deal with rank amateurs like you. Anyway, I made a number for... Oh, he thought it was funny, but it just... he's still... Just... They're irritating right-wing talking points that...
Like what? Let's knock him out.
All right. I said... Okay. Number one, Obama has not had anywhere near the majorities that LBJ or Truman had, or total control of all branches, as you state. Number two, he's had an unprecedented wall of obstruction from Republicans, the likes of which we've never seen and Dad wouldn't recognize. Number three, I'm clearly not advocating for an Eisenhower-like 90% tax rate. I'm merely stating the obvious that we're arguing over tax rates in the 30-something range when taxes under Eisenhower and your hero Reagan were much higher. Number four, Dad may have thought the tax cut spurred growth when Reagan did it, but Dad died in 1983. Any credible economist, including the huge list with several Nobel winners who just wrote to the White House and Congress, including David Stockman, Reagan's budget director, thinks Reaganomics or trickle-down was a huge disaster in the long term, and these Bush tax cuts for the very rich are largely responsible for this deficit. Thank you and good night. There will be no encore. Please, try the sauerkraut. And then I haven't even read the screed I got back this morning.
It's beautiful, though.
Well, yes, maybe that's why he kept losing elections. He couldn't be concise.
Stop it.
What?
Listen, you always hit lower than I do.
What?
Well, I love my brother.
I don't know
him. Stop picking on him.
That's because I don't know him.
It is my job to pick on my brother.
But he lost two elections.
Stop it. Stop bringing up a sensitive subject.
What?
All right, on to my hate mail from ordinary people that are not related to me, who share none of my genetic matter. Kyle. Oh, his name is actually Kyle.
He's a Kyle.
He's Jim's character, Kyle. I can tell when I don't even get a greeting or salutation of any time. Right. I hope you realize I'm done listening to your show as of today. You're so mesmerized by Obama, you deny what the realities of this episode will be. I'm sure you, I'm sure you lost millions of listeners today as well.
Well, did we have millions of listeners to lose?
I had millions to lose, but thanks for your, unintentionally complimentary.
Yeah.
You're not more intelligent than Senator Bernie Sanders. I never said I was.
No.
Which is why we have him on all the time.
Yeah.
And he's the measuring stick for the left. You sided with billionaire right-wingers. What a joke you are, Kyle, who apparently is not listening anymore, in case he is. Hi, Kyle. In case he's listening to see if I'm still just as stupid today.
Hmm.
All right. We allow listeners on both sides. Matt, a fine American, writes, Steph, just wanted to take a moment to tell you that too many of your listeners are blaming Obama for things that should be blamed on conservadems in the Senate. They failed us on health care. They failed us on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They failed us on the Dream Act. They failed us on tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. That's true. Who's the asshat that voted against Don't Ask, Don't Tell? The Democrat? Pryor? Mark Pryor.
And Manchin, too.
Oh, no, Manchin. I'm sorry. It was Manchin.
Yeah, Manchin.
Yeah. Everyone that says Obama needs to push harder, but as unfortunate as this may be, the fact of the matter is these tools have the right to make up their own minds. Joe Lieberman, douche. Thank you for pointing that out. Yes. Was never going to vote for the public option.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
Because he's owned by the insurance companies, and he also was in a snit about Democrats, if you'll recall. And without him, there was no way to get the deal passed, so the conservadems are the real problem, not Obama. Please make sure your listeners know that and urge them to fight for more progressives in the Senate. Yes, that's what I've said. That's where we're really losing all our battles. Keep up the good work, Jiggles. Matt in Minneapolis. P.S. How can you be gay if you had a crush on Keith Partridge and Donny Osmond? Well, Matt, because it's a process. It's a questioning period. I would marry Donny Osmond if he asked me.
At the risk of enraging you, it would have been nice to see a bit more of a fight before the compromise.
All right, you can enrage me after the break. 18 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with more people irritating me that are not genetically linked to me in any way as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
So I'm crazy. I really don't care. That's my prerogative. They say I'm nasty, but I don't give a damn.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Must not read brother's email. Must not
read it.
Oh, sweet sister, for the first time ever, I shall place your quite weak responses in the delete file so none of your other professionals ever sees how weak they were. Must not read rest of it. Okay.
Read it.
It is the...
Read
it. No, I'm not
so
reading
we can
it's
shoot
pages
it down.
And
read
pages
it.
Long. I'll edit it and read it to you later. All right. 24 minutes after the hour, John Buglesang, of course, in the New York Bureau. You know why I'm on the side I am on this, Chris?
Why?
Because of Rita in Encinitas, California.
And she's with...
She's with Rita in Encinitas, California.
Okay.
Fine American. Hi, Steph. I'm a progressive Democrat who reluctantly favors the deal Obama made with the Republicans. My unemployment compensation claim expired a few weeks ago. I have about $40 in my bank account.
Exactly.
So high principles are great for those who can afford to live up to them. Those who are objecting most strenuously to this deal are also able to put food on their tables and pay their rent. We know extending tax cuts to the rich will not stimulate the economy. They've had their cuts for 10 years and didn't produce any new jobs. However, Mitch McConnell has said the Republicans will not allow any legislation to pass until they get tax cuts extended for their wealthy masters. Once the new nut jobs arrive in Washington in January, it'll become more difficult to get anything done. In this case, I believe Obama did what he had to do. Rita in Encinitas. I'm fighting for the Ritas of the world. John Bugle saying you airy, very liberal.
Listen, you can be angry about this. I'm angry about it. The deal's crap. But the fact is, the real bad guy
here is not Obama. I don't
agree
the deal's
Obama.
Crap. I don't deal. The tax cuts are awful.
The
but
tax
crap
is
of
awful.
Good,
yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff in there, and even people like Ed Schultz are starting to talk about that.
Absolutely. But the bad guy here is not the president. The bad guy here is every
So would you
Republican
like to take
voter.
Back that the deal is crap?
Oh, no, I think the tax cuts are awful long-term for the country. But
you said the whole deal is crap, is what you said.
Well, generally the deal is crap, yeah, but you had to do it. It was the best deal we could get. I mean, I support it, but I can still say it's crap. I think both sides are right on this. Long term, yeah, China's going to own us more. It's more debt for our grandkids. It's bad. But in the short term, millions of families will get to have Christmas. People won't starve. Right. They won't be forced to turn to crime and
but
cooking meth like Breaking Bad.
John, I don't, you know, look, I don't mean to trust me, I'll get called an Obama apologist anyway. And by the way, Randy Rhoads is much more of one than I am. So let me just deflect.
And she has bigger boobs.
Exactly. But, no, what I'm saying is Chuck Schumer, Chris, may be the only one that can really answer this question. I mean, again, I think Monday morning quarterbacking is of limited value right now, especially in such a critical time here at the end of the lame duck Congress. But, the fact is, John, the people that, are always bitching about anything the president does probably don't know exactly how this went down, behind the scenes. I mean, what I have said is when they wrote it down Schumer's proposal to raise it even to $1 million, you gotta go, what was the president supposed to do? Clearly, the Republicans, and what I was saying is clearly they weren't playing chicken with unemployment. They don't care.
Right.
they're happy.
They
already
care.
Let unemployment run out. So
they do not care. It's
but the thing we
true.
Don't know, I thought I was the only one saying this, and I read it in a news piece yesterday, is somebody saying, but if the, I don't know behind the scenes, maybe Chuck, you would have to ask Chuck Schumer, do you think the president undermined you? Well, because, I mean, maybe you say if he had gotten strongly behind even a Schumer proposal, as maybe the Republicans voted against it because they thought they were going to get a better deal from the president. I don't know.
Here's what we know. The president met with the Republicans last week. After that meeting, Schumer was putting forth his compromise, which made a lot of sense, by the way. It was not a capitulation. Schumer had a real compromise.
I didn't even want that one. I preferred Jan Schakowsky's at $500,000. I mean, average income is $44,000 in this country. In what world is $250,000 not rich? I don't even care what city you're in.
The top 20% of earners control 85% of the wealth, okay? So 15% of us, it's just insane. There's 15% of wealth left for 80% of us. It's madness. But the thing is, if they'd done the Schumer plan and tried to get $500,000, then they could have compromised again at $1 million. That would have been a compromise. It is a capitulation. You're going to have a lot of angry liberals, and Obama's going to have the pressure on him to win them back.
Yeah.
Again, both sides are right on this. You know, it's going to save a lot of lives, and good will come from it.
But to a lot of people, it's all about appearances. They don't care what happened behind closed doors.
Well, because it looks like Obama made the deal.
It looks like Obama is weak, and that's what people are pissed off
about. Exactly.
Not in some people's opinion. Not in Randy Rhoads. Opinion, not in Andrew Sullivan's. Read Andrew Sullivan's article.
He
thinks he's brilliant. I mean, so does Randy Rhoads.
So does Mitch McConnell.
So do a lot of smart people. I mean, so I'm just saying, this is what I want, is us to respect each other's opinions here.
They're talking about the actual deal itself.
Lawrence O'Donnell is pretty freaking smart.
We are respecting each other's opinions here.
They respect the – listen, you can respect the deal but not respect the way in which it came about, okay? A lot of people would have liked to have seen the image of their president fighting because that would have had the narrative for the middle class. People would have understood this is happening because the Republicans are in the tank for the upper 2%.
That's right.
And that wasn't conveyed adequately, in my opinion.
We'll talk to somebody in the trenches that actually knows what's going on and going to happen next. Representative Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join
Stephanie Miller
and me and my suite at the Palace Hotel, huh? It's gonna be a real old-fashioned Christmas. The stockings will be hung by the chimney with care, and
Stephanie Miller
will be stinking drunk.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. John Duke, let's take a quick guess the quote for you. Who said notice that Obama has secured with Republican backing a big new stimulus that will almost certainly boost growth and lower unemployment as he moves toward re-election? If growth accelerates, none of the current political jockeying and Halperin-style hyperventilation will matter. Obama will benefit thanks in part to Republican dogma. Here's something the liberal base can chew on if they need some grist. How cool is it that Mitch McConnell just made Barack Obama's re-election more likely? Bet you didn't see that one coming, did you? Who said that?
Who said that? Was that me? Did I say that?
No!
That wasn't me?
Andrew Sullivan, he was wrong about the Iraq War, but I'm just saying, he happens to be very smart, and I think he's right on this. And guess what? Lawrence O'Donnell
self-loathing gay
captain. And Keith Olbermann are very smart, and they both disagree on this as well.
No, Andrew Sullivan is my favorite self-loathing Republican gay Catholic, and I respect him.
I don't think he's
much.
Republican anymore. We've had him on the show. Let me just say, he's one of probably the people in the middle or the independents that the president needs to get back. Let me just finish, John. That's what happened in the midterms. If you look at Nate Silver's breakdown, it's independents largely that stayed home. Let's go to a representative.
You're right about that.
Tim Ryan of the great state of Ohio. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning to you.
Ah, well, you gotta tell me where you. We're having a little family feud, aren't we? in the party. Tell me where you are on this.
Well, it's tough when you let everybody think for themselves. You know, it's the difficult part of being a Democrat.
Yes, that's what we've been saying all along.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's apparently much easier to be a Republican. You can just totally. No is a much shorter word.
Yeah. We report what you'll decide.
You get the marching orders and you go right down the line. You know, I'm against what's happening here, certainly against the process. I thought we could have taken a much firmer stand early on. You know, we may have ended up in this position that we're in right now. We may have ended up with this compromise. And I would not be happy with it, but if it was after us making the case to the American people about this growing inequality in our country and the tax laws since 1980 have been perpetuating this kind of economic system, the inequality, the lack of money for the investments that we need to make to keep pace with China and everything else. So I still think there's an opportunity in the next 20 days to make this a better package. There's certainly going to be things in here that we hate, but, you know, that's compromise. But I think we should at least go back to the drawing board.
Representative Ryan, was the president correct, though, when he did sort of say, look, I wanted this to be taken up earlier, but a lot of Democrats didn't want to do this before the elections?
Well, it was mostly a lot of the blue dogs that didn't want to do it.
There you go.
Have a discussion on the taxes. I mean, a lot of us thought it was a good idea. Stan Greenberg came to our caucus and showed us some polling that basically showed that independents were with us on this, too. But I think everybody gets spooked about tax issues with us.
Yep.
But see, I think this is where Democrats need to take a stand. The American people are with us. We're asking. I mean, check this out. We are asking someone who's making $500,000 a year to pay an additional $700 in taxes. Now, that's not going to break the bank. I heard the commercial before I got on about brown bagging the lunch and riding your bike to work to save some money. These folks aren't going to have to do that if we pass the Democratic proposal.
Right.
It's going to be $700 for a family making $500,000 a year. That's not too much to ask in these difficult times.
Well,
why do you hate growth?
Now, here's the problem, though, Congressman. We've talked about this as we opened the show today. I mean, you're right. I mean, again, there's a lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and there's probably a lot of blame to go around at this point. And again, what I was saying, and maybe you know or you don't, but, you know, I guess only Chuck Schumer could tell us, does he feel like the president undermined him, or would his proposal have failed anyway, based on Republicans, you know, their intransigence to everything? It seems like that vote would have failed anyway. It shows you exactly where Republicans are. Right?
Well, you know, the thing is, this is not static. This is, you know, you have the bully pulpit. The CBS poll said you had basically 67% of the American people did not want the high-end tax cuts. So why not have this national discussion about who's on whose team? Who's fighting for the middle class? Who's fighting for the unemployed? Who's fighting for reinvestments back in the country?
Right.
And my God, there's all kinds of business taxes in there, too.
Right,
it's not like this is some kind of liberal you know, policy. See, there's a lot of business taxes there, too. So I think, like, a Schumer policy could have ended up being the default position at the end of the day if we made the strong case that millionaires shouldn't be getting a tax cut.
Right. Well, Congressman, I guess a pivotal thing for you, you know, who are in the trenches trying to get this done, and we're at a very critical time, nearing the end of the lame duck. How do you see this playing out? Because I do feel like, if Democrats block this, this is going to be a disaster for us politically. That is my feeling. And it is that we're gambling. We're gambling on, you know, people's futures that are not getting a paycheck.
Well, I mean, we still got 20 days here, and I think there still can be some tweaks to maybe sweeten this up a little bit. And it's important to recognize, too, the Democrats are talking about tweaking this package. We're talking about maybe doing something with the estate tax. We're talking about maybe doing something with the make work pay, those kinds of things. Now, the Tea Party came out yesterday, and I think the quote I read was, let's blow it up. You know, and I think that's That's the difference. And I think what's going to happen here is the Tea Party may come in and blow this thing up, and then the Democrats will have to pass the package, maybe with a few Republican votes, and we may be able to get some things we like.
Oh, interesting, Congressman, because that's exactly what we were saying yesterday. We're like, what, does the Tea Party realize who they've elected? People that are going just about to add $900 billion to the deficit with tax cuts for the rich? I mean, didn't they run on lowering the deficit in smaller? So I assume they don't like the unemployment benefits or the tax cut. Correct?
No, I'm sure. Well, they don't speak too much about the high-end tax cut. I didn't hear much about that, but a lot of it's being borrowed, and I think that's the issue that they have. So if the Tea Party comes in and blows this thing up, I mean, you saw McConnell do the Potomac two-step on the earmarks when he said, weekend show he was for it, and, 2 days later, there's moratorium.
Yeah, they're getting a little queasy on the whole earmark ban.
There's a whole lot of profiles encouraged down here at this point.
And I read somewhere else, Congressman Ryan, that a lot of these Tea Party candidates are already hiring lobbyists to run their, their operations. It's not exactly what the Tea Party had in mind, huh?
Beautiful.
Indeed it is. Well, I mean, do you think there is a chance that we can fix this estate tax thing? Because, I have heard Bill Press say that he talked to one Republican that was like, what? We had no idea we'd get something this good. I mean, because that's pretty egregious.
Yeah, that clearly seems like a deal for the START treaty with Kyle, and he gets the estate tax. We may not get the estate tax thrown out, and they may not get the START treaty. I mean, you see all the Republicans running for president are against the START treaty now. So
yes, who George Bush Sr. just came out in favor of. How did it become a liberal tchotchke to trade for something that, literally every Republican of any consequence is for?
Look, Ronald Reagan could not get elected in a Republican primary today.
Yeah,
that's how crazy. I mean,
well, you would have had to make the START Treaty and the Dream Act a little more liberal for Reagan to vote for it.
Well, and Reagan used cap and trade to address leaded gasoline. Herbert Walker Bush used cap and trade to do sulfur. So, I mean, these are things that have traditionally been reasonable market-based approaches to solve problems, but now it's so demagogue, and that's why we have gridlock down here in this. Tea Party rearing their head now on the tax debate, I think, is a real signal that the next 2 years are going to be nothing but gridlock.
Oh, boy. Representative Ryan, I don't often do this, but let me give you a little peek into my world and the bitching and moaning I put up with. See what your answer is. This is from a Joseph in Tacoma, Washington. Steph, here's why the Democrats screwed up the timing. If Obama and the Democrats had come out prior to the president's deal over unemployment benefits and shown the Republicans is willing to let the benefits expire, willing to raise taxes on the middle class, willing to use hostage tactics, then they would have had the moral high ground and been in a better bargaining position. Now, after our president rushed to make a deal for Bernie Sanders and Anthony Weiner, DeSalo blocked the bill, paints the Democrats as the obstructionists. A colleague of mine said once that the Democrats consistently snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I've never seen a group with poorer timing and inability to pick the battles to fight or the inability to articulate a message. your response to all of that? I mean, that's the problem, is now what?
Right. I want to get that. I want to get that guy's resume. I want to hire him. he hit the nail right on the head. And that was the thing. I mean, and that's what a lot of us are complaining about here. Like I said at the beginning, you're always going to swallow something you don't like when you have a divided government. But it was the way we went about it. We just did not play our hand effectively enough early on. We weren't strong. I mean, we got the veto pen, and it's like, listen, I'm vetoing this and anything above $250,000. And start educating the American people on it, and all of a sudden, you're right, that the box, the frame is made then, and then they got to come in outside that box of you being for the middle class and say, well, we want to add on the high-end tax bracket people. So, he's great. You're lucky to be surrounded by such wise counsel.
I do. I have the smartest listeners in the world, that's for sure. Congressman, Joe Biden obviously came and talked to you all for, is he coming every hour on the hour? But, he's warned that obviously tinkering with this could make the whole thing blow up. What is your feeling on that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like, why are the House Democrats being put in a position where it's an up or down vote? I mean, this we are a co-equal branch of government. The House and the Senate are co-equal chambers. And we had, literally no say in this. No one was checking with Chris Van Hollen and our people as to how we felt about this before it was brought to us. And we think it's going to get rammed down our throats. And, the Senate on more than one occasion has said, oh, House, you passed cap and trade. you guys pass the DREAM
right.
Act,
right.
And then we'll act on it. So you've got a bunch of, you know, equal members of Congress
right.
saying, wait a minute here, wait a minute. You know, like, for example, that when you do the make, when you take away the make work pay tax credit and you add in the payroll tax deduction, I have 56,000 families in my district that are actually going to see a tax increase because of that. So if you make under $40,000 a year and you got the make work pay last year and you're not getting it this year, you're getting the two, you're going to see a tax increase. While billionaires are getting, a 35% rate on their passing along their estate, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, look, you know, you and I have talked before. I'm a big fan of everything the House has passed. You know, I'm a fan of, you know, when Nancy Pelosi has done everything she's been asked to do. But again, you know, when you look at the political realists like the Chris Matthews and the Lawrence O'Donnells, the problem has always been the Senate. And, you know, we can, so, you know, when maybe it was not well stated about ideological purity, but let's look at the results. Unfortunately, a lot of that great stuff did not get passed by the Senate. So wouldn't that be an argument for why we're going to have to make some deals if we want to get anything done? I mean, trust me, I would prefer every version, you know, from the House of everything we've done.
Well, and the honest answer is we may end up there. You know, that may be where we end up. It's just, you know, are we just going to roll over? Oh, here's what everyone says we're going to be for, and we just vote for it.
Yeah.
And we don't even attempt to try to get the estate tax taken out. We don't even attempt to maybe get
I'm
energy stuff put
I'm
in.
With
I mean,
you.
You got to at least try.
I'm with you. Listen, American President, my favorite movie. I'm still hoping for that ending. But Representative Tim Ryan, thanks so much for taking time for us and just for the great explanation of what's going on. We appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes. Representative Tim Ryan.
Hey.
Love him.
Man. Mighty, mighty good man.
Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more fighting as we continue.
Yay
for Talk Radio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to be paid, for goodness sake.
All right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots were listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sean Connery has just arrived.
The whole place stinks like a hothouse at low tide.
It does. I brought in leftover halibut.
Yeah.
I apologize. Sorry about that.
Did you heat it in the microwave in the kitchen?
No, at home.
Okay. Good. So you didn't stink up the sales office. Thank you for that. You just stunk up this
studio.
Well,
this is a bad economy. I need to stay on the good side of the sales department.
Yeah, you do.
1-800.
Get rid of that bitch with her fish.
Let's go to Dan in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm leaning with you and the president for one reason here. I keep thinking of the scale of the problems in front of us. The tax cuts, you know, is a total. We're talking about a package of $800 billion, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The derivatives problems, the financial collapse thing, is $800 trillion. It's 1,000 times more. And we are going to need a spirit of working together. I know it sounds like ridiculous. It sounds like a pipe dream, but this is do or die. This is the existential problem for our country.
Yep. I hear you, honey. The president yesterday.
My sense is that there are going to be discussions between both House and Senate leadership about all the final elements of the package. Keep in mind, we didn't actually write a bill. We put forward a framework. I'm confident that the framework is going to look like the one that we put forward.
The fight has even broken out in David Bender, Lovers and Haters, who we had on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Jack writes, Steph, I love David Bender, but I totally disagree with him. He stated that sometimes you have to do unpopular things in order to send a message to the hostage takers, or they'll keep taking hostages. Well, the way I see it is you try to save the hostage now, and if more hostages are taken down the line, you deal with that as they come along. Why can't people allow Obama to use his own strength to govern? From Jack. And then for the opposition, Debbie in Crown Point, David Bender is correct. Steph, please listen to David Bender. He's correct. Let's fight them now. I'm one of those 2 million who just lost unemployment benefits. I'm 60 years old. I doubt I'll be able to find work. I've been off for 52 weeks. The extension would be great for me, but I'd rather we fight the bastards now. Even though, Stephanie, I will suffer personally, I'm prepared to do that for my country. I have little savings. I'm living with my daughter since my job of 15 years was outsourced. I have a feeling her daughter has a different view on this.
Yeah.
This is a difficult situation for me, so don't think I'm sitting pretty here and can afford to give up $360 a week, but I hate these rich bastards as much as I love my grandkids, so I can't justify taking another 13 weeks of unemployment so they can get hundreds of billions that have to be borrowed from China. Debbie, you got to hand it to the people that are personally going to be affected, that believe in the common good. I mean, we just have the smartest listeners in the world. I agree with both of them. I mean, God bless you.
We are
if you want to stand on principle.
Chewing gum at the same time. We can, you know, do both at once and say, yeah, there's bad parts of this bill and it's going to save lives.
Jim Ward, let me take your temperature this morning, and I don't mean that in a dirty way.
I was watching Lawrence O'Donnell last night, and I agree with Ralph Nader on almost everything except the idea that he should run for president.
Please don't do that again.
Well.
Yeah.
But I've been saying what he's been saying about Obama. He seems risk averse. You know, and sometimes that's mm-hmm. a good thing.
Yes, but isn't anyone that gets elected president in some ways? You know what I'm saying? We always say we agree with everything Dennis Kucinich says. He will never be elected president.
Right, but he's conflict averse is what he said, not risk averse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does take risks, but he seems to shy away from open conflict with mm-hmm. with people. He wants to accommodate them, which is a very good quality, but not something I want in my president right now.
Mm-hmm.
For the opposition, Jim, now that you're here, it's a full-fledged, guess the quote, are you ready?
Who
said, the mix of policies is also shrewd from a strategic point of view. At some point, I suspect the Congress will have to decide between extending the payroll tax holiday or keeping the Bush tax cuts for millionaires, the double track of the current Keynesian deal. I think Obama wins on that one and has set up the kind of future choice the GOP really doesn't want to make. What he has done, in other words, is avoid an all-out fight over short-term taxes and spending now in the wake of a big GOP victory in order to set up the real debate about long-term taxes and spending over the next 2 years, leading into a pivotal 2012 election that could set the fiscal and political direction of this country for decades, an election in which he may well have much more of an advantage than he does now. Who said that?
Mr. T. Mr. G.
No.
Bristol Palin.
Andrew Sullivan, one of the smart people that has a view on this, like
we were
Lawrence
both so
O'Donnell.
Close. Everybody has a view on this.
Yes, and a lot of smart people.
I don't have a view on it.
Who said this is the difference between tactics and strategy? The GOP has won again on tactics, but keeps losing on strategy. More broadly, as this sinks in, Obama's ownership of this deal will help restore the sense that he is in command of events and has shifted to the center, even though he is steadily advancing center-left goals. It's already being touted as triangulation by some on the right, even as it contains major liberal faves, unemployment insurance for another 13 months, EITC expansion, college tax credits, and a payroll tax cut. My view is that if this deal is a harbinger for a negotiation, Obama will continue with the GOP for the next 2 years. He will come into his own. Who said that?
Dwight Schultz.
No!
Oh.
Andrew Sullivan.
Gutsy call.
And one last one. The more his liberal base attacks him, the more the center will take a second look. And now, how instantly the GOP's position has shifted. They have suddenly gone from pure oppositionism to dealing with the dreaded commie Muslim alien, thereby proving he is not what they've made him out to be. The more often we get the GOP to make actual tangible decisions on policy alongside Obama, the less able they'll be to portray him as somehow alien to the country, and the more they will legitimize him. The House victory means they can no longer sit out there portraying the country as somehow taken over by radical alien forces, which they can simply oppose with ever ascending levels of hysteria and rhetoric. And the more practical and detailed and concrete the compromises, the less oxygen blowhards like Palin and Limbaugh will have to breathe. Who's that?
George Papad.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, that was a good guess, John. No.
No?
Andrew Sullivan.
It's not as good a guess as Dwight Schultz.
He finishes by saying, now for the short-term benefits of resolving this tax and spend dilemma so swiftly, the president urgently needs to get the new start and don't ask, no tell through the Senate. Don't ask, no tell would be a major boost for his base and the country's military. Getting start through is critical to his foreign policy cred. If he can pull all this off by Christmas, and the Senate should indeed stay open for an extra week, the last Congress will indeed be viewed by historians as one of the most substantive and liberal in recent history.
Wow. Ed Sullivan said all that?
Ed Sullivan, who even knew he was alive.
The veto.
That was a good show.
A really big capitulation. The Albanian.
Do you have to harsh my buzz all the time? Fugle saying 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good numbers when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yoo-hoo! 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. There's new pictures of Match and Fred. Mama, the handsome man.
Oh, God.
How does I handle?
I miss those behemoths.
Okay. I forced Max into a forced snuggle last night. It's in the middle of the night. Now, Max! Max!
Mama needs a snuggle.
Max! Max!
Yeah, you can't do that to cats. You can't force them into a snuggle.
No, you can't force cats to do anything.
No, you come. Oh no, you come back with a bloody stump.
No,
come on.
Maybe your cat.
Yeah, well.
All right, John Fugelsang, of course, in our New York bureau. What was that little tease about, Mr. Fugelsang? What was the whole? You have good numbers. What's the breaking news? What's the haps? What's your WikiLeak? Where's John Fugelsang? Oh, we somehow lost him. Oops.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. All right, we have to get the New York line back. Something, oh, you see, like, that was a coincidence,
That was a coincidence. So we're just about to talk about good numbers, and suddenly...
Huh? Yeah. Line to New York is gone.
Damn you, Dick Cheney.
Exactly. Oh, by the by, I have to say this. I told you during the break, just because this kind of... I'm sorry. I know it's name-dropping. It makes me feel cool. I wrote to Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame because I'm going to be in Santa Fe over the holidays and asked if they'd like to get together. They invited me to their house for dinner.
Oh,
how much fun is that?
That's great.
And I will not mention to Valerie that you still want to do it.
What?
I think that would be awkward.
Quiet.
I did tell them I thought it was the first time in movie history that the real people were actually hotter than the actors.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. All right. Borowitz Report, whom we love. The President Obama's deal to extend the Bush tax cuts for the rich drew rave reviews from the wealthiest 0.0000001% of Americans who pronounced the deal a total home run. When we first heard about the deal, we were like, this is too good to be true, said multibillionaire Thurston Howell IV.
Good heavens.
But when our butlers read the plan aloud to us during cocktail hour, we were incredibly stoked. Oh, heavens.
And he's not a Yale man. The point in his favor.
Exactly. All right, let's see. Fine American Tammy in Plymouth, Minnesota, with another letter from a hostage, one of the hostages in the crisis gym, with a different view. Reality check from a hostage. Steph, I'm one of those hostages everybody keeps talking about. As a hostage, I, for one, do not want the negotiators to gamble with my life and the lives of my family. I find it very interesting that those who are screaming loudest for the president not to negotiate are most likely not in the middle class. I think it's safe to assume that they are making more than $250,000 a year. My family has an income of around $65,000 per year, and we are still supporting five of our six children, one being a college student. The reality check is, if you're making a six-figure income or more and you're not unemployed, you can afford a game of chicken. You can afford the president to be tough, to put on a show, to call their bluff, and hope it works. This hostage cannot afford those luxuries. Having grown up as a father who was a police officer for 33 years and on the hostage negotiating team, and a brother who has been a police officer for more than 20 years and is currently on the hostage negotiating team, it has been my experience that most hostage takers either end up taking their own lives, I'm using this figuratively, or they're arrested and in the end justice is served and they're sent away for many, many years. Tammy in Plymouth. We have the smartest listeners.
So maybe the Republicans will be taken away, sent away for many, many years.
That's what I'm hoping the moral of the story is. Yeah. Can we just imprison all of them?
Or just, you know, politically.
Isn't it for treason something? Yeah, I'm just saying. All right. Yeah, but good points, right? I mean, that's, you know, I have to say, I you know this, Jim, I truly am a fan of everybody in the progressive arena. You know what I mean? Like, I love their passion, and I love, there's a lot of smart people, but, you know, I got to say a lot of them. Clearly you're making more than $250,000 a year, and they're not in Tammy's position, you know? So I there was one, I'm not sure who it was. We listened to Bill Press this morning. He had a congressperson on, and she, you know, and I understood her position on standing up for this, Jim, but she seemed a little like, oh, well, you know, I'm not really sure what's going to happen in January. It's like, well, you know, there are real people like Tammy dealing with these real issues every day, and I get that. And I don't know, Jim, whether it's the president's risk averse or that he really cares about those people and he's not willing to negotiate with their lives. John Fugelsang is back. There he is. The conspiracy is over. Oh, now he's gone again. For the love of God, we're having technical difficulties. Please stand by. All right, Jim, this will come as breaking news, not to you. Neurotic people have difficulty with relationships and marriage. But U.S. researchers say if neurotic newlyweds have lots of sex, marital satisfaction is high.
Wow.
So it turns out you're right. You can the crazy out of someone. The study found for spouses with high levels of neuroticism, frequent sexual intercourse improved their marital satisfaction. There you go. That's science stack for you.
I would think so.
Mm. Okay.
Sounds like it might be kind of violent, rough, you know.
The president.
I urge members of Congress to move forward on this essential priority.
All right, Eric in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
Great. Hey, I wanted to disagree with you, Stephanie, on President Obama, and I voted for him. I was out in the cold for 12 hours in the inauguration with my son.
Me too.
It was one of the proud moments, you know, of many of our lives, to see that. And we're really, really disappointed. First of all, on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he hasn't stood up and really, you know, pushed the envelope on that and came out strong. He kind of just let it go, really. And
I got to say, I disagree with you on that. I look, and I'm, you know, as you know, I mean, I'm as passionate about this as you are, but I'm still hopeful. You know, Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins are bringing forward a standalone bill, and I have not given up the ship on that. And, I, you know, the president came out immediately, Eric, yesterday and said, hey, you know, I am not giving up on this. I urge them to do it.
Well, I agree.
And if they don't, how do you know he's not going to do an executive order? You don't know yet.
But before the fact, I mean, he has not lobbied on this. I know there's a lot of issues. I know there's a lot going on, but I really think he could have done a lot more. Nevertheless, it passed 57-40, and only in the dysfunctional U.S. Senate does that mean it doesn't pass. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
But on the tax cut issue, earlier I think Chris or one of them said, it looks like Obama is weak. It doesn't look like he's weak. He is weak. He's constantly negotiating with the Republicans. He doesn't consult with the House Democrats. It's like he's with the other party. Did George W. Bush or the Republicans?
And Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow and a lot of other smart people think that, you know, some smart people like Lawrence O'Donnell and Chris Matthews and I and Randy Rhodes think differently.
They don't think it's weak.
Disagree.
I don't say that, but I'm just saying from our viewpoint, from a lot of progressives' viewpoint,
I got it.
Obama time and time again has capitulated. He keeps giving in, and the Republicans never do that. For once, I want him to stand up for us.
I am just saying based on my view, particularly of having a dad in politics, and when I think politics and Republicans were different than they are today. I mean, my dad, honestly, Eric, they really were friends. He was friends with people across the aisle.
Right.
They went out to dinner together.
Right.
Their kids played together.
Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
exactly.
They actually got things done. They didn't, you know, I'm just saying, particularly, you know, what started with the Bush administration, I was always saying that. Like, I don't remember them calling each other bad Americans, you know, when they hate the troops and this and that.
Right.
It's just the rhetoric. And now with the Tea Party, it's like times 10 to square root of pi. It's gotten so ridiculous.
With the Tea Party coming in, I mean, he's going to have to be stronger. I want him to succeed. I want him to succeed more than anybody.
Yeah.
I really, really do. And I really, really like the guy. And I think he could be a great leader, but he's going to really have to show it.
Eric,
so
and
he
needs people like you, and I respect you, and I love you, and I hope, you know, that's the thing. We have really smart listeners, so we can all have different opinions and get along. So I love you. Thanks, honey.
Same. Thanks a lot.
All right, honey. See, did you see the moment last night, Jim? Did you see Lawrence O'Donnell and Alan Grayson kiss and make up? I think, MSNBC slipped him a Darvon, something. You need to calm down. Oh, you're never going to get any other guests. It's different when you're a host. You have to suck up to everybody in some particular sense. It's just different, right, when you go on as a... You're basically an enemy combatant when I have to go debate Dana, whatever her name is, the teabagger. Then you're, you know, it's a different position. So I think, anyway, but I thought it was still a great discussion last night on Lawrence O'Donnell's show, but just respectful. Let's go to, I'm sorry, do you think John's there now?
He's back, yes.
Ah.
I missed all that.
You should have seen the whole visual of what Chris was doing back there for the last 5 minutes.
Broadcast.
I'm not sure whose side it was on, so I was trying to fix everything that could be fixed on this side.
I'm going to say it's your fault.
Okay. I'm used to that.
Hi, John Fugel saying, what were the good numbers you teased us with? Good numbers about what?
It's good it's good numbers for when you're arguing with your teabagger, coworkers, or relatives, or neighbors. This Obama tax deal will cost us $858 billion. The stimulus cost $787 billion, so you can tell all your stimulus-hating friends that you're the conservative one on this, because this is costing our grandkids a lot more.
All right, John. Thanks.
That is
for
good news.
Okay.
Trust me.
Thanks. Okay. Let's go to. That's what I waited for. All this technical. Cut his cord again.
No, we need him.
All right, Kathy in
Los. It's good news, whether you like it or not.
Kathy in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, quickly, I just want to say that it's the rich people and rich congressmen and rich media who are just doing this for theater, and I think they're driving the small people who don't think and don't have time to think they're leading them astray. First of all, I think...
Well, you know, you're right about that. You got to think about it. That's the media. They want a show. They want a show.
Yeah, of course. And the congressmen, too. They want to get up there and rail about something. But this is the best deal. It's because the president knows that the bottom line is that the he could have gone to the 31st of December and the Republicans would not, in the Senate, would not have given in to anything but tax cuts for the rich being extended. He could have gone till January. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
They weren't going to get
right. They're going to grow a conscience and somehow care about anybody but the top 2%? Of course not.
But it's Christmas time.
But and also, they had the START Treaty. They had the Korean Treaty. They had the DREAM Act. They had Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There were other things to do. And everybody's acting, jumping up like this is the only thing that had to be done.
Yeah.
It's insane. Are people silly or stupid?
Yeah. Well, this is what I was saying is like, look, I understand negotiating too, but you know, A, as I've said over and over, they weren't playing chicken with employment benefits. They weren't, and you know, and as you say, it is only going to get worse in January.
And it's easier to have a one thing to, that you're driving home, but unfortunately, the Democrats had several. We have lots of things to do. We've always been complicated. I don't know what to say about that. But the fact of the matter is that with START Treaty, the DREAM Act, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, all this other stuff that had to get done, we didn't have a single one thing that we're pounding on. Maybe later we can pound on driving down the deficit, one thing. If we have one thing, we can win.
And then the president could go, hey, you know what would do that? Getting rid of these tax cuts for the top 2%. I think I'll sign an executive order. Wouldn't you love if he did one of those George Bush signing statements? This is a terrific deal, except, bling!
Our one thing should be slavishly defending the aristocracy. Oh, wait, the GOP took that.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the tax deal as we continue on this Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang back with us from New York. Bed bugs chewed through the lines, apparently. Thank God we have Cedarside. Cedarside.com.
That's Howard Stern Studio.
No.
And they thought the bed bugs were interns there.
Hey!
Well, yeah.
Flavin. Angry House Democrats, of course, in case you hadn't heard the breaking news, staged a noisy revolt yesterday against President Obama's year-end tax cut agreement with Republicans pledging to block a vote unless there are changes made.
I believe the F word was thrown about during...
Oh, I believe.
Really? Yes, it was. It's been reported
finance?
That. No, not finance.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh.
Federalist?
Robert Gibbs.
If one side takes out what they don't like, and the other side takes out what they don't like, we're going to have that.
I got plenty of nothing.
And that... A blank piece of paper is not going to prevent middle-class tax rates from going up.
Yeah, that's what some insiders are saying, that, you know, relatively, like the estate tax is obviously one of the egregious things in there to Democrats. If they, that's the problem. If they succeed, then they say it might come in the form of more concessions to Republicans. Joe Biden said, you know, the whole thing might unravel. So we'll see how this plays out. Representative Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon.
The tax deal between the White House and Mitch McConnell in the Senate is not acceptable to the Democratic caucus of the House of Representatives, and we will not bring it to the floor in its current form.
So we had Congressman Tim Ryan on earlier, and he was saying that that's part of it. That obviously I sympathize with that. That they said they were not consulted, you know, while they were negotiating. The president was negotiating this deal with Republicans. So that, you know, again, we can go back and Monday morning quarterback
negotiating with the Republicans and ignoring the liberals.
Well, right, but
that's compromise.
I know, but Jim, again, how many times can we go over like what happened and why? You know, Democrats and Tim Ryan again this morning told us it was the conservatives. They didn't want to have this vote back when the president wanted them to have it, because they didn't want to vote on taxes before the midterm. So again, there's a lot of blame to go around. I mean, again, and I don't know what happened in the inner workings. I do know that when the Schumer vote failed, I mean, what good are all these great House bills that got passed doing us when they don't get passed by the Senate? Somebody's got to break through this logjam, and I understand there's stuff not to like about how the president did it, but don't you agree, Jim, that if we bone this up now, we're going to take all the blame?
Mm-hmm. Can't we just throw the Republicans in jail?
That's my new solution this morning. Let's throw them all in jail for treason.
Yeah, that'll work.
Just, you know, spitballing ideas.
That's off
exactly.
the table. Yeah.
There's no bad ideas here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What if Aquaman and Superman were to take the... No, I guess it wouldn't be practical.
Carol in Woodhaven.
Aquaman's affected by Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah. Hey!
Because of Admiral Roughhead.
Yeah.
Carol! Carol in Woodhaven.
What'd you do?
Carol in Woodhaven, good morning. Hello.
How's everybody?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Okay. One quick thing. I just, have you ever noticed how when people want to talk about what a wuss the president is, they always start off by going, you know, I know he was handed a big bowl of steaming goo with a side of obstruction, yeah. but why isn't he stronger? I mean, what is yeah. wrong with him? But, you know, the thing that bothered me the most was last night on Oberman's show. I just think he went way, way low by bringing on this screaming, banting Hillary supporter.
I actually missed last night. Who did he have on?
He brought on the guy. I don't know if you recall the guy that was talking about all of the Birkenstock wearing, latte drinking liberals that are flocking to Obama. He was at some, you know, one of the Midwest states or something like yeah. that. He was just ranting and raving about how Obama let him down. Obama's let him down in Chicago. Yada yada yada. But he was very nasty. Mm-hmm. So Oberman plays this very vile clip, brings the guy on. And says, you know, you can go ahead and tell me I told you so now, or you're going to go ahead and tell me I told you so now, that Obama was so weak and he wasn't going to stand up for everybody. I just thought that was a very low blow, because I don't know what this gets us. If we're going to get petty, I mean, we can disagree. I understand that. I love that.
Yeah.
But if we're just going to get vile and petty, then what is that going to get us?
The people in the chat room say that they think it was the head of the machinist union or something
That's
like
it.
That.
Okay.
That was
yeah.
it. That was
yeah.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was just nasty. And to play that clip, I mean, like, the timing of it was just really, I don't know, suspect. Because I don't understand why we're rehashing.
Yeah. But you know what? I love Keith's passion, Carol, and I love Lawrence O'Donnell's passion. And yet, you know, I thought Lawrence O'Donnell was a gentleman last night in apologizing to Alan Grayson. And Alan Grayson was a gentleman to accept it and come on. And you're right. We can all have different views, and a lot of smart people can disagree. But you know, you're absolutely right about, you know, trying to do it in at least what does the president always say? That we can be civil and not, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Right. Yeah, but
shut up, Stephanie.
Yeah, but we're Tell Democrats. Disagreeable is our middle name.
Yeah, but you know, I love that. That's what makes us liberals and progressives. But now we're getting like petty and just.
No, we love everyone. Haven't I heard you on that whore Randy Rhodes show, by the way?
Absolutely.
How dare you cheat on me, you. Gotcha.
Absolutely. And I was the one that kind of got John Fugel saying for you. You know, I ran him to the studio and kind of beat him up a little bit.
Thank you, baby. All right. there you go. All right, 29.
That costs
extra. Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Here's the lady of the evening, that star that leads you wayward, that bell that jingles your rock, that sweet, sweet nutcracker, ladies and gentlemen,
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 34 minutes
that
after the hour.
Sounded a little like John Fugel sang. Interesting. I don't remember that VH1
Sweet
special.
Nutcracker? I don't think so.
You know, we've been talking before the break about liberals eating their own and yada yada, all this is going on around the tax deal, etc.
Shut up.
Since liberals eating their own.
My point, that was a little skit by Jim Ward. See what he did there? See, I probably shouldn't bring this up, Chris, because this is behind the scenes.
Oh, God.
And I'm probably going to start another fight, so maybe I won't mention any names, but...
Mention names.
No, I'm not going to, but... See, I've said during the break, and you guys know, you can confirm this, because you know me, you know, off air and whatever. I truly am a fan of everybody in progressive media. I listen to everybody. I watch everybody.
And you're even a fan of some in conservative media, just because they're good broadcasters.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm Switzerland. But I just think it's counterproductive when we do this, and I won't say who, but... And we all have
but
egos.
But it rhymes with...
No, I'm not going to say
that. Well, come on.
I just think it's counterproductive. I heard somebody say, oh, I'm the number one radio show with the most stations and the most listeners by far, blah. all of us in the business, Fred and Progressive Radio, correct?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're all on about the same number of stations.
Right.
It is what it is. There's no hiding that. The conservatives have hundreds of stations, give or take one or two stations here or there. We're all, and we've all traded whatever. You could go on a daily basis who has more listener stations.
We have tens of stations.
Yes. Yes. I won't even mention that I've been told by most of my stations that I'm number one in the station, but what I'm saying is it's counterproductive to have to, like, compete with each other in that way. Because, I mean, obviously the what's implied there is other people are not as good as me. And we have such a small toehold as it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying is that I just don't. That's why I was happy to see Lawrence O'Donnell and Alan Grayson kiss and make up, and I thought that was a good, example for everybody. Because I'm...
Yeah.
Well, thanks to
and it was good for them to fight in the first place. That was healthy, too.
Thanks to your freakishly long middle toe, we have a pretty good toe hold. And
that's true.
It's only because of my hammer toe that we're on any stations at all.
Well, it's like you're a velociraptor or something.
I know. It's weird. At least the wart fell off.
Yeah.
Joe in Forest Lake, Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I'm kind of frustrated with the president. The Republicans have been making these, ridiculous accusations. He's, some French, Kenyan, Indonesian person
yes.
who hates
Communist
America.
Nazi. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he turns around and says that their policy ideas have merit. Well, you can't defend them. And then and fight them at the same time. That means
well. The,
right.
the fact is, Joe, we did get a lot of good things in here, and even my buddy Ed Schultz was starting to say that yesterday. There's some good stuff in this bill. There is a lot in here that we got as
although
well.
Although, as part of the deal, Obama has to admit he's from Kenya.
I think people should remember, though, that we're talking about going back to Clinton-era tax rates.
Right.
We're not asking for anything ridiculous. And these tax rates, we also know that, we have years of policy data that shows that higher tax rates cause people to keep their money in the business, invest mm-hmm. in
yep.
business, and low tax rates cause capital
yeah.
flight and disinvestment.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely
and
right. The tax rates in this
in this bracket,
you're absolutely right.
Not.
These will only add to the deficit. They are not going to be stimulative. Like, who did we talk about yesterday when President Kennedy lowered them from 90%?
To 91 to 70.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's a whole different discussion. Yeah, maybe that is part of it. You know what it is, John? He has to actually show his birth certificate that Orly Tate says is real from Kenya. He needs to admit
yes.
that she yes, was right, that, that the
and
lawyer he, dentist was right all along.
He has to admit that Iraq was a good idea.
By the way, speaking of Clinton, did you see this? He's going to be meeting with former President Bill Clinton, and the president are supposed to be meeting today at the White House.
Yes.
Hmm.
And Obama also has to apologize for winning in 2008. That's part of the deal with Republicans.
Yes. Kicking her ace. Representative Lloyd Doggett, a Democrat of Texas.
We were told yesterday by the vice president this was a take it or leave it deal. We're saying leave it.
These bitches did not get it together, apparently.
Come on, bitches, get it together. What? No, you're not going to.
You know what happened? Maybe the vice president listens too much to the show and he actually said, you bitches, get it together.
Yeah.
And they did not take kindly to that wording.
They don't like being told it's a big effing deal.
It's a big effing deal.
Get it together. Senator Harry Reid.
We hope that we can very quickly lay down the tax bill.
So what the very hell quickly. Happened on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the other breaking news of yesterday? Senate Republicans, of course, blocked a major year-end push by Democrats to lift the military's ban on openly gay troops. President Obama mm-hmm. instantly appealed to lawmakers to make another last-ditch try, which is going to happen. Lieberman and Collins announced they will introduce a standalone bill to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and bring this forward before the end of the lame duck. So
he's the only Republican who voted for it.
Yeah, and wow. Joe Manchin, the only Democrat who voted against it. You know why he said? Wait, where is it here? Because we're in Afghanistan.
What?
The military yes. has said that's exactly the reason that it would go much better while we are in wars, because people have a lot more important things to deal with when we're in war.
Afterward, he also said that he didn't vote on it because he didn't know enough about it because he's so new in the Senate.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time to have an opinion. Yeah.
And then is
yeah.
it true that Blanche Lincoln didn't even vote because she was at the dentist?
Yes, yes.
Couldn't they have put it off until she got back?
Yeah.
Something.
Couldn't she have put it off?
Yes!
She's going to have a lot of free time as of next month.
Yeah, yeah. The other side may feel, a lot of us would like to give her own root canal without anesthesia.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has a lot of volunteers for that.
Mm-hmm. That would make her blanch.
Hey!
Bling, you see.
Bling. Harry Reid said the other side may feel passionately that our military should sanction discrimination based on sexual orientation, but they're clearly in the minority and they have run out of excuses. But Republicans faulted him for the way the issue was brought to a vote. And I have to say, I have some questions about that as well. I mean, Olympia Snow said the repeal should have been considered apart from the defense, which is what they're doing now. But she said any opportunity to move forward with this discussion has been undermined by the majority's desire to score political points, which I don't think that's why Harry Reid is doing it. But it is, like you were saying, John, earlier, isn't he supposed to be the master vote counter? How did he not know?
That and the charisma, the two reasons he has the job. Right?
Yes, sure.
Because he can count votes really well.
With that last four-second soundbite we just played, I went to sleep.
The Republicans, they've been united in saying that they have to do the tax deal first. So
we have to do this quickly in a timely manner.
So Democrats said yesterday morning they remained hopeful a last-minute deal could be struck with Collins, believing her support would get Scott Brown and Lisa Murkowski. In the end, Reid said he was running out of time, but Collins said she didn't understand why Reid. I mean, look, their demands are ridiculous, and they have run out of excuses. But I don't know how we've gotten this far, and then, I mean, please God, let this pass the Lieberman and Collins thing. But it is ridiculous, all their rules and procedures, and we need more time for this debate and amendments. It's only been 17 years. Mm-hmm. Joe Lieberman yesterday.
He said, "Put me down as a co-sponsor." I said, Harry, we're going to ask you to bring this to a vote before the end of the lame duck session. And he said, I will bring it to the active calendar under Rule 14. So it ain't over till it's over.
I mean, the standalone to me seems like a good idea because it really does make you just stay up and go, I am a homophobe.
Yeah. Some observers say that a standalone bill has a better chance of passing than, you know, the supplemental.
Senator Susan Collins yesterday.
The majority leader is not pursuing the path that we discussed, or at least that's my interpretation of what he's saying. I think that's so unfortunate. And Senator Lieberman and I have been bargaining in good faith with the majority leader. So I just want to say that I'm perplexed as to what has happened and why we're not going forward in a constructive way that would lead to success.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many opponents of repealing DADT will be found with a rent boy.
Yes, maybe we could get some WikiLeaks about that before the vote, before the end of lame duck.
The thing about it is, we don't even know how many of these Republicans really are homophobes. We just know they're pandering to homophobes in their home district.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly. Harry Reid with his side of this.
This is not any kind of a legislative wrangle I'm having with my friend from Maine. She has been the only person I could talk to about this legislation. This has been taking months to do this, months. And the time has gone, as Senator Levin has said, to stop playing around with this.
Can I just say, I want the Freepers to call in right now and justify this, because if you're a Republican against letting gays serve openly, you are not a patriot, you don't give a damn about winning these wars, and you're not a Christian. I said it, prove me wrong.
Oh, there's John Hugel saying, God warrior.
Call up right now.
She's not a Christian!
Von Zip in the Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, Steph, I'd like to use an analogy from nature to explain why this was a bad deal.
Okay, tax cut?
Yes, okay. Tax cut. The thing is that the middle class is a host and the rich are a parasite. And all this does is keep the middle class barely alive so the rich can keep on sucking the blood out of them. And the thing is, as bad as the deficit problem with this bill or this deal is, the worst portion is that it accelerates the redistribution of wealth. And when you factor in Citizens United, it means in 2 years, the rich are going to have that much more to hammer away at everybody. And it's going to be painful no matter when they do it. But until they deal with the fact that all this does is prolong the misery, that's why it's a bad deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, but The problem is, again, we have a political reality that we are dealing with in January. We just do. I mean, there's no other way around that. If you, as someone said earlier, you know, in the show, if you thought this was a solid wall of obstruction, wait till you see what happens when they're in charge. I mean, it's 45 minutes after the hour. Yes.
Actually, the other Washington on Twitter said Blanche Lincoln needed to get all of her dentist visits in while she still had government health insurance.
Yeah, that's
why.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Someone send her Herbie the Elf. How about that?
Why would you be a dentist?
I'd like to be a dentist.
All right, 45 minutes.
I like causing things pain.
45
Blanche
minutes.
Lincoln, line one, Herbie.
Yeah.
Who played the sadistic dentist? Was it Steve Martin or Bill Murray?
Steve Martin.
Both of them
played the dentist, right. And Bill Murray played the patient.
It was Jack Nicholson in the original.
Is it wrong to wish that one of them showed up as Blanche Lincoln's dentist? 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome
guy's
to
stealing
it.
Bowie's act.
Well, they're a one-hit wonder. Bowie was not.
51 minutes after the hour. Carrie in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Mama.
Hello, baby.
I wanted to make a couple of points, if I can.
Okay.
First, about the Democrats. You know how you're always saying when Republicans are finally leaving office, they start telling the truth?
Yeah, right, right.
I think that's what the Democrats are doing here. A lot of them don't have anything left to lose.
Right, but people that are losing their unemployment do have something to lose. That's the problem.
Well, I'm not talking from the point of view of a rich person. I'm disabled. I'm living on $12,000 a year.
Wow.
Okay. And I still think that they need to stand up. They need to stand up for something, because if they don't draw a line, if they don't actually start fighting back, then when the Republicans are in control, they're going to ask for more. If they get
they're going to
push for more.
Right, but they're going to anyway, because that's who they are. And I totally get your point of view, and I appreciate it. But I'm just telling you, these people have no soul. They don't care about anybody. They're not suddenly going to sprout a sense of decency in January.
I understand that.
That's just my point of view.
But for us to be able to fight for the decent people, we've got to get some back, and we've got to fight back.
Yep, I agree. I want to get some more good progressives elected is what I'd like to do. You know, I mean, I think she makes a good point. Don't you, Chris? Like, that's some of them, you know, what I understand a lot of these House Democrats are mad, but a lot of them, they aren't the ones that are going to be losing their unemployment insurance or their...
That's true. Yeah. Or their government health care.
No, they're all millionaires. They'll get a tax cut on top of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Anthony in Eureka, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony. Hello, Anthony. Anthony going once, going twice.
The family Von Trapp.
Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys, I'm going to give it to you straight. It's time to play chicken with these bozos. I'm on unemployment. I'm on food share. Our douchebag governor-elect just lost playing chicken in Wisconsin, lost $810 million to stimulus because he wants to defeat the train. Look, the only way, and I'm on the bottom, guys, so how much am I losing by not getting a tax cut when I'm not working? Zero.
Right.
The only people that are benefiting from this, and I noticed the tax cut I got from Obama.
Well, hey, everybody's hurting. People that are out of work, a lot of people that are working. I mean, it's just
and billionaires have it really bad.
Yeah. Here's how much I'll lose. Okay, when I was making $40,000 a year and I got a tax cut, it was about $4 a week. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so when you're on that bottom rung and you're going to lose $2, and you guys are talking to the wrong people, I talk to everybody that's in this situation. We're all ready to stand up and fight.
Well, right, but Mike, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell makes this point. The bottom tax bracket is 10%. That's going to go to 15 without this deal, and that makes a big difference to people. They're in the 10% tax bracket.
Totally understand that, but those are the people that I'm standing with, and we're telling you to make the stand.
And you speak for all of them.
I'm speaking for many of them.
All right.
Okay. See them in the coffee lines, guys. I'm on the ground level. You know.
Yeah. All right.
And I understand that we need this money and we need to keep it going. But if you don't make a stand against the Republicans now, you're going to next year. Come on. This is just going to get worse if we don't make it. Right now, yes, some of us are going to starve. But guys, in a revolution.
But a lot of us need to lose weight. Is that your point?
Well, I don't, but I'm just saying. You
yeah,
know,
I hear you.
We do Mike, not make the stand now, guys. It's yeah. not going to happen.
Yep. Yeah. Mike, I got it. Your point is well taken. Listen, you know, John, as you said, you're not even a Libra, and you understand both sides of this.
Both sides are right, you know? I mean, it's just one of those situations. It's like it's like many debates in our society. I just have to admit that both sides are right. This deal is really, really bad long term. We're going to be owned by China more. Our grandkids are going to be paying for a rich guy's tax cut. Obama is breaking one of his biggest campaign promises. America voted for the guy who said he'd let these tax cuts for the wealthy expire, and now he's breaking it, and a lot of good's going to come from it in the short term. You know, there's people who are suffering
who
need this aid now.
If you have any doubt of who these guys are and who they would be again in January, did you see this story? Diaper Vitter? The Obama administration won't be able to fill a key science position until it testifies about a decision to block areas of the Eastern Gulf and Atlantic Seaboard from new oil and gas drilling. Senator David Hooker Vitter said he's putting a hold on the nomination of Dr. Scott Donnelly for scientist of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He first wants answers to the tough new policy on offshore drilling. And as we know, under Senate rules, one senator can,
yep.
you know, yeah, exactly. I mean, all right. Harry Reid, by the way, on the Dream Act yesterday.
We have not given up on the Dream Act. Quite the opposite. It having passed the House gives us more energy to move forward on this most important piece of legislation.
Yeah, but they voted to postpone.
And here is David Hooker Vitter on that, as a matter
of fact. I've come to the floor to strongly urge all my colleagues, Democrats and Republicans,
and hookers,
to oppose cloture on the so-called Dream Act.
Yeah, and they punted it to next
get the
next
huggies
session.
I know, but this shows you how extreme they are, Chris. You know, it's like there are all kinds of positions on immigration reform, mm-hmm. but that means you really don't believe in a path to citizenship for anybody.
Right.
Not
yeah.
for somebody that's been here since they were a kid and they want to serve in the United States military yeah. when we're in two wars.
Oh, only
that's
white
how we
people,
won the Civil
though.
War.
Only white people, though.
Only mm-hmm. white people what?
They'd love to bring all the white people they want over, but just the brown people yeah. coming, you know, from the South, they don't yeah. want in here.
You yeah. know, my great-great-grandfather was an illegal immigrant. He jumped ship in Brooklyn Harbor from the Denmark Merchant Marines, and he joined the Union Army to fight in the Civil War to get citizenship. Hmm. It's been happening through our entire history. And again, Reagan didn't make anyone join the Army. Reagan just gave amnesty
yeah.
out.
There's
so, again,
of...
yeah.
you can't criticize the Dream Act and be a Reagan fan. You got to throw away your Reagan blow-up doll.
There are lots of Irish immigrants fighting on both sides in the Civil War.
Yeah. And these are
story.
And these are people who can't help but be here
yeah.
illegally. They were brought here by
yeah,
their parents
exactly.
when
yeah.
they were babies.
Yeah.
Just like Michelle Malkin.
Exactly.
What? Oh, Jim, don't bring up the right-wing anchor babies. Flush with excitement over their recent electoral gains, Republican state lawmakers are partying like it's 1859. A group of lawmakers from 14 states, led by the asshat, Russell Pierce, who
yes.
was the author of that odious law in Arizona,
yeah.
plan to thumb their nose at the 14th Amendment's grant of citizenship to nearly all persons born within the United States by introducing legislation that will end birthright citizenship for the children of illegal aliens. Yeah, I thought they were the constitutional conservatives, the ones that want to shred the Constitution.
Only the parts of the Constitution they like.
We love it so much, we're going to fix it.
Russell Pierce once did an interview with my host in Arizona while he was on the toilet.
Oh.
Wow. Mm. Just thought I'd put that out there.
Classy
with
the
K. Yes. And he flushed at the end.
Oh! Oh. That's
okay.
Well, ironically, that's what his bill is.
Yeah.
New pile of... 58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! This hour brought to you by Napa. Napa Know How. Whee! Stephanie Miller Show loves us some Napa. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget, if you're here in Los Angeles, Mama spins at Yass. Come spin with Mama. Go to Yass.com is the website. That's G-O-2, the number 2, Y-A-S. Yoga and spinning. All right.
So is Napa where you get all of your auto parts when you go out and fix your car?
Yes, that I drive to, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. John Fugel is saying, of course, in the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show, wow, after all the hate mail, I have to, this is a love letter. Susan in Columbia City, this made my week. Steph, my husband, Donald, served, oh, because I got, we had some right-wing callers saying how horrible the VA system is.
No.
Steph, my sister, my husband Donald served in the Army in both Korea and World War II. He also had severe COPD and acute lung disorder. Anyway, spent a long time in a lot of VA's hospitals, and it was always great care. On another note, Mama, he loved your show. It made him laugh. Thank you for that. Donald passed away on October 26th. Aww. You made the latter part of my husband's life better, and I love you for that. Aww, aww. Thank you, Suze. Our condolences. We're all
that's
human beings.
That's as uplifting as it gets today.
Says, do you need to know anything more about the human Republicans as human beings that they voted down health care for the 9/11 responders?
Yeah, why do you use the word human beings?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was generous. I apologize.
Yeah.
The lazy bastard should have worn face masks. Oh, wait. The EPA told him not to. They're completely safe.
Let's do some dumb crook stack. That'll make us all feel better about it. You know, maybe as the economy gets worse, Jim, the crooks are getting stupider, but I'm not really sure. The headline, two accused of breaking into Florida police station for marijuana.
Oh.
Police say they caught two men early Tuesday morning breaking into the police department to get marijuana. It was marijuana the police said that one of them had stashed in his pickup truck, which was impounded at the station.
Boy, you can't say they're
police chief Mike DeMardo said they aren't the smartest people in the world. You have that conversation, dude. Let's go get to the police station to get my weed.
What could possibly go wrong,
dude? Totally.
The only potheads who've ever worked hard at something.
Hey.
What? Hey.
Jim and I are offended by that.
What?
Wait.
What?
Someone in the chat room says the cops always have the best weed.
It's true.
The truck was impounded by detectives as part of a burglary investigation. The investigating officer became suspicious when he kept trying to get his truck back.
Can I get my truck back? I got the
dude, I've got to get my truck back. That's where the weed is. Boom.
They broke in to steal guns. McConnell will be standing up for him.
Yeah.
The headline is a man who hung his GED certificate above his meth cooking lab then fled police by taking to the woods with a bowl of macaroni and cheese. A man who proudly hung his GED certificate above his meth lab.
Yeah.
Fled police by taking to the woods with a tent and a bowl of macaroni and cheese, pled guilty today. Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, of course.
Oh, no, where my mom is from.
Well,
he made a meth in his garage where he and his 15-year-old girlfriend also lived.
Oh.
Officers found meth
making. But she's not his cousin.
Equipment.
Well,
and they found his GED certificate hanging above the gear, leaving little doubt as to who they were looking for. Having heard about the search, he went into hiding in the woods. He took scant provisions.
Save the macaroni and cheese!
Raking buffoon.
He tried to run, but the police chief said he, quote, did not outrun the police dog. Has he never watched
Cops?
Even
on meth?
You can't outrun the police dog.
But if you can't outrun a police dog on meth, you're cooking the wrong dog.
Yeah. But he saved the macaroni and cheese. That's the best part of the story.
On his DED above where he cooked.
All right, we're going to dive into the right-wing world. Oh, goodness, did you see those darn Fox WikiLeaks that keep happening?
Yeah.
Another Fox News memo has... Fox News executives told the network's journalists, that's my favorite part of the story, journalists, to avoid referring to the public option when discussing Democrats' proposals. Right. According to internal emails. Friendly reminder, let's not slip back into calling it the public option. Bill Salmon is his name, the vice president over there. He offered several other ways to discuss the idea. Government-run health insurance, government option, the public option, which is the government-run plan, and the so-called public option.
Yep.
Media, those scallywags at Media Matters released the emails and said it gives credence to allegations that news from Fox's Washington Bureau is being deliberately distorted to benefit conservatives in the Republican Party.
Yep. You think?
Gives credence to credence.
By the way, you know who also said that on the air? Frank Luntz, unfortunately, made the mistake of actually saying that to Sean Hannity on the air.
Oh?
He said, if you call it a public option, the American people are split. If you call it the government option, the public is overwhelmingly against it. Repeat after me, Sean. Shake your little tiny tic-tac brain in your big brontosaurus head if you understand.
It's called catapulting the propaganda. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
No.
Oops.
That's the part you don't say.
They had called it the citizen's choice, it would have been a lot easier. And if they'd called it health insurance reform instead of health care reform, it would have been a lot easier.
Yep. Where's our Frank Luntz, exactly?
John Fugelsang is our Frank Luntz.
If they called it health insurance reform, people would have been behind it.
You're a wordsmith. I nominate you, John Finkelstein.
Okay, I'm available. Cal Penn just vacated an office.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing today.
He sees delightfully frigid this time of year.
Charles Krauthammer on the tax deal.
Look, I think it's a win for the president because if he's going to get reelected, he needs a stronger economy. And he's getting what is essentially $1 trillion stimulus, a stimulus he could never have gotten a month after an election that was run on smaller government and less debt. He's gotten that as a result of this negotiation. Yes. I think it's a gift to him, and he's very happy to have it.
Well,
listen to Charles Krauthammer.
But that's Andrew Sullivan's take. He's, you know, his headline is Obama president, McConnell sucker. You know, I mean, we'll see how this turns out. Rush Limbaugh.
AP ought to be apologizing to us if they really believe this. If they really believe in both the AP and Reuters saying their stories, extending the Bush tax rates will boost the economy. Well, that's the first time they've said it, too. Don't they owe us an apology for lying about the Bush tax cuts for the last 10 years?
They're not talking about the tax cuts for the rich.
Ugh. If you're just tuning in, that was a very wealthy, fat drug addict talking about how the rich need tax cuts.
Exactly. Thank you. Glenn Beck and a caller on his radio show.
Be white.
I can be.
You can be. You don't want to be. You don't want to be. Because if you're white or you're an American citizen or a white American citizen, you're pretty much toast.
So can I get my health care benefits to pay for the tanning bed so that I can look Mexican American?
I don't know. Are you a member of SEIU or any other labor union?
No, but if that's what it takes, I guess the name of the game is don't have any core values and just whatever it takes to get your message.
Thank you very much. You're exactly right. You've been reading Saul Alinsky. The ends justify the means. Whatever it takes.
Okay, I have to de-louse myself after hearing that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Dane, can I make a confession? I've never, ever heard his radio show. I don't even know where it's on.
I don't even think it's on here in Los Angeles, actually.
You get it in New York.
Oh, boy.
Well, you get it, but you don't get it.
Nobody gets it.
I don't get it.
Yeah, Glenn Beck, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, Tony Perkins.
No, mother, blood, no, no. Norman, you've been a very bad boy. What are you doing there in the shower? I know what you're doing in the shower. Don't tell me.
It's the guy
wrong
from the, yeah, the American,
not that Tony
American
Perkins.
Family.
He's much, much scarier than the original Tony.
American Family Association. With Steve Doocy.
Yeah.
The left is losing the debate over public policy in the direction of this nation, as evidenced in the election last month. And so what they want to do is they want to shut down all debate over issues. Primarily what they're focused on are the issues of marriage. 31 states have rejected the idea of same-sex marriage. The research we put out suggests very clearly that homosexual behavior is harmful not only to society, but more importantly to the individuals who engage in that behavior.
Do you hate gay people? Are you anti-gay?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Oh. He's trying to help you. He's trying to stop you from hurting yourself. Why are you hitting yourself?
Why are you hitting yourself?
Oh, he's
the most anti-gay person on the planet.
He's a helper. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, anchor baby Michelle Malkin on Fox and Friends.
These climate summits are complete flops. Global warming science has been proven to be a complete joke.
Oh, really?
And so, hey, why not party down there on the beach?
Wow. When did that happen, Jim? When climate science is what? It's done?
A joke. Yes, Shell Oil has proven that climate change is
sure,
myth.
Sure.
But we're still getting anchor babies.
Okay. Oh, must we?
What?
Dennis Miller.
Liberalism is best viewed peripherally.
Yeah,
when it's out here, when they're out of power, you can talk about being touchy-feely. Everybody goes, fine, that sounds good. Now, when you center it, when you put it right in the viewfinder and see how crazy some of these concepts are, like Barack Obama has in the last 2 years, there comes a point where everybody says, no, that's not going to work. You've got to get on page. And I give him credit for at least saying, okay, I'll bend a little. It's not working. I'll try something else.
Wow. Political analysis from Dennis Miller.
Right. Okay.
That's like getting elocution lessons from Helen Keller.
Exactly. Jim, here's a... you know, I was just reading a Paul Krugman piece. And interestingly, he says his first line is on the straight economics, the tax deal is worth doing. So I think means a lot coming from Paul Krugman, but he totally disagrees with Andrew Sullivan on the politics of it. He thinks the politics of it will be bad for Obama and lead to him not being reelected, where Andrew Sullivan. So, you know, there's a lot of debate on the actual tax policy, on what's actually in it, on the politics of it, on, you know, if it sets a precedent. I mean, there's just on tactics, on strategy, yada, yada, yada. So I we'll see how all this plays out. And I don't know. John, oh, do we lose John again?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
all right.
No.
17 minutes after the hour, we'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the...
Mars needs
Stephanie Miller.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, dance, dance.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim! Who said ideological purity is for partisan...
Andrew Sullivan. Ed Sullivan.
Who said ideological purity is for partisan extremists? Who said that?
Julian Assange.
No, Bill Clinton. Ha! You didn't see that? You see what I...
Yeah.
Interesting. No, interesting piece in the LA Times yesterday by Doyle McManus. Did you see this? I thought he made some good points. He said, for months, anxious Democrats have been asking why Barack Obama can't be more like Bill Clinton, their last successful president. Now Obama has gone and done something Clintonian by striking compromise with Republicans to extend high-income tax cuts, and his party's own liberals are furiously accusing him of betraying their ideals. That should come as no great surprise. Liberals often accuse Clinton of the same sin. A bit of history many Democrats appear to have forgotten. Clinton declared the era of big government over, cut spending on domestic programs, called for a balanced budget, and compromised with Newt Gingrich on a welfare program that put a deadline on benefits for the poor. There's the quote. He lectured his own party in 1995, sounding very much like Obama this week. It's strange that liberals don't cut him more slack. He's got more solid liberal credentials than Clinton did, and he certainly got a lot more done in his first years than Clinton did. Obama's bill for near universal health care passed. Clinton's never even got a vote. But no, liberals complain the stimulus is too small. The health care bill, which survived, remember, by the slimmest of margins, too riddled with compromise. They wanted him to fight harder. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes,
blah,
but
blah,
the
blah,
world
blah.
Is very different right now, and it's a lot worse because of NAFTA, which Bill Clinton
this
is also.
Exactly right. But this is also why, you know, liberals are tend to be on the right side of history, and it's why progress takes a long time. We're not organized in lockstep.
Would you give anything?
Fox News debating over Bush. Yeah. You know, like MSNBC is right now.
Would you give anything to be a fly on the wall when the president and meets with President Clinton today?
Yeah.
That's gonna be a bitch session.
Awkward. Yeah.
Thanks for Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
I mean, again.
Screw you.
Mm-hmm. What can I pay you to make Hillary be my running mate?
Let's go to Thomas in Santa Fe. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, baby.
You're gonna be out in Santa Fe. You making any public appearances?
You know what? I would love to. I think we're talking to our station to see. The problem is it's over the holidays, so I'm not sure if we can
She's
or not. But
dancing at Show World.
But I'll be drinking. I'm sure at every bar there. I'm sure you're bound to run into me.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to go hang out at the bars and look.
She'll be doing naked snow angels.
Running to you and Shirley getting up wine here.
I'll be the drunken brunette doing naked snow angels.
With Shirley MacLaine. She lives there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Tom.
No, the point I wanted to make on the tax cuts, you know, I clearly, yes, there are very good arguments among liberals and Democrats, but I don't think this is about us, quite frankly. I think this is about the 25% of the population that swings back and forth, and I don't think there's anything that Obama could say to them if their taxes went up on January 1st where they wouldn't blame him.
Right.
They don't know who John Boehner is. They don't know who Mitch McConnell is. They don't even understand the fact that these things were passed with an expiration date.
Oh, Tom, and that's what I'm saying right now, that this could be a disaster. If Democrats block, you know, their own party's president on this, I mean, we were going to look like the biggest stumble bum cluster in the entire political universe.
I totally agree. These folks, and I'm friends, and they're my family. They care, are the in-laws coming for Christmas? Who's picking up the kids? They don't listen to shows like yours. They don't read the New York Times. I know it's unfortunate, and they need to, but, I mean, that's the reality that we face. There's a lot of folks who the only time they're ever interested in politics is during presidential elections. So the president could give a speech, but, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, did it really fall? That's the same thing with Obama speeches.
Yep.
So I think that's what we ultimately have to keep in mind.
Yep.
And I think the big
yep.
thing is I think Obama can still win this argument.
I do too.
In the 2012, he's already talking about, you know, wanting to reform the tax code.
Yep. So, yeah, exactly. All right, honey. Thank you for that. Oh, by the way, did I mention the coolness about Santa Fe?
What?
I got invited to Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson's house for dinner.
Name
she
drop.
Can she can cook and kill you with one finger. How awesome is that? You know what I love to talk to them about is WikiLeaks. How do they feel about the right wing calling for what's his name to be, you know, executed
well,
for treason? Because
it's not just the right wing.
Yeah.
A lot of people in government are very afraid of what they might reveal.
Yeah.
Exactly. The banking industry.
But I'm just saying, it's like, suddenly, oh my God, leaks. We have to bomb an entire country that he's in because,
Leaking state secrets is very evil unless you're leaking the identity of a spy because her husband revealed that you were lying us into war.
Oh, go see Fair
That's
Game. It'll infuriate you all over again. By the way, did you see the, he took some sway, what's his name, Julian Assange?
Mm-hmm. Assange.
Thank you. He took
one
some
is a rapist, not a rapist.
He took some swipes at Palin and Republicans. He said, in the race between secrecy and truth, it seems inevitable truth will always win. He quotes a young Rupert Murdoch saying in 1958. He goes on to explain the role he feels WikiLeaks plays in the media landscape. Democratic societies need a strong media. WikiLeaks is part of that media, while naming the names of those who have come out most strongly against him. He said, I've been accused of treason, even though I'm an Australian, not a U.S. citizen. Yeah, that's
By
one
Palin.
Little technicality.
Yeah.
There have been dozens of serious calls in the U.S. for me to be taken out by U.S. Special Forces. Sarah Palin says I should be hunted down like Osama bin Laden.
What are they afraid of?
A Republican bill sits before the U.S. Senate looking to have me declared a transnational threat and disposed of. An American blogger has called for my 20-year-old son here in Australia to be kidnapped and harmed for no other reason than to get at me.
For telling the truth about what your tax dollars are paying for.
Daniel Ellsberg is receiving a lot of media attention right now because he supports WikiLeaks.
Of course he does.
He's the guy who helped stop the Vietnam War. Because he leaked
the Pentagon Papers.
Well, the Pentagon Papers, yes. Actually, it was Gravel who actually put them in.
And I think the most important thing is Jim Ward needs more details about that Ukrainian nurse that who has Gaddafi? Somebody.
Gaddafi.
Yeah. And Jim Ward wants a Ukrainian nurse. All right, 90.
He'll get that in his next contract.
I'd settle for a Bielorussian.
At least it's not Snooki Leaks.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour.
There's a visual.
Celebrity stack.
Oh God.
True meaning of Christmas came true, and
Stephanie Miller
found the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2.
Auntie Pasta.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Selena in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Selena.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm against this tax deal. Okay, I'm unemployed. And the way I feel is that I don't need an extension. I need a job. Okay, and he campaigned. I campaigned for Obama. I think his heart's in the right place. I think his head is up his butt. And just basically he needs to grow a pair. Okay, this is what he campaigned on. This is one of the reasons why I walked 100 homes.
Well, honey, you got more principles than I do. I got to tell you, if you're the one losing a check.
With me. No. I'll eat dirt. But they're going to eat the dirt with me. I'm sorry. Ever since they did the tax cuts, the economy tanked.
Yep.
Okay? It started tanking, and here we are today. And now they want to make it worse and leave my grandchildren, okay, to pay this bill. No. They need to cough up the money, honey. And that's that simple.
And
you
not
know?
Just your grandkids.
I
it's
love
going to
you.
Be easier to gut Social Security.
Listen,
because
you
got to,
you know what? You got to give credit to people that they're the ones being hurt and they're willing to take a stand, you know? I'm such a liberal, I want to send her a check now. Let me give you the other view because I think this is really interesting stuff. Of the another fine American, as is our last caller, Doyle McManus in the LA Times. Just again, you know, it seems like it's almost like two camps now in terms of pragmatists and people that want to stand on principle, like our last caller. His view of it, Doyle McManus, good piece in the LA Times. He said, in the short term, Obama had few good alternatives. If Congress remained deadlocked and allowed taxes to spike in January, as some liberals are willing to risk, the public would look for someone to blame, and there's no reason to expect that fractious Democrats could win a messaging war on that issue after losing similar battles all year. We've been talking about that over and over, right? About messaging. More important, Obama's economic advisors warned him that a chaotic tax deadlock could cost the economy as many as a million jobs. Like the one our last caller needs.
Mm-hmm.
If businesses put hiring on hold until Congress resolved the issue, the last thing Obama needs right now is a slower economic recovery. That's where the president's decision connects with his long-term agenda. If this deal survives, he's just won something that seemed well out of reach, a new economic stimulus package, which I think is why Krugman is probably saying, this, on the merits, this is good. He said the prescription of most economists has been for more stimulus, but there was no way to get Congress to approve another one, like the one that just passed, thanks to the Republicans' success in painting it as a failure, which it wasn't.
Right.
You know, Jim, you always quote Krugman as saying it should have been bigger. Well, he just got another stimulus. Obama would have preferred a package that was less reliant on tax cuts, but that's the one form of stimulus the GOP would get behind, so the president struck a bargain. Both sides got the tax cuts they wanted. Obama also secured a renewal of unemployment, which he wasn't likely to get otherwise. Mm-hmm. Total cost of the package, $900 billion over 2 years. Perhaps $300 billion of that is stimulus that would not have happened otherwise. Center for American Progress estimates the entire package could save or create 2.2 million jobs. So, you know, this kind of serves to refute our last caller's point. He says the president's real frustration was with Democratic liberals who don't want to compromise, even though November's election return suggests the tide is running against them. Obama and his aides acknowledge that the deal they struck is far from their ideal, but they say they're doing what the country needs most, giving the economy a better chance to recover. When you're at war, you fire the bullets you have, said Austin Goolsbee, who we've had on this show.
Don Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're also doing what independent voters, the ones who gave Obama his big majority in 2008 and who sat out the midterms, say they want. Show some willingness to compromise. For a president seeking re-election, there are worse things than being criticized by the professional left, as one of his aides called it. That's some interesting stuff.
We're completely screwed either way. No, actually, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So if the economy improves
and if it doesn't, he's screwed anyway.
Then here's my question about it. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Because Satan would like to congratulate Mr. Boehner and Mr. McConnell, but he's going to wait to thank them in person someday.
Hey,
here's my question. Now, I understand this is about saving jobs, okay? Obama saving his own job, the Republicans saving their own job. Obama threw liberals under the bus, and the Republicans pleased the aristocracy. I get all that. But in 2 years, when it comes time for this again, they're just going to throw a barrage at Obama of your raising taxes during his reelection campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't a 1 year extension or a 3 year extension have made more sense?
That's true.
Than two? He's walking into a trap.
Yes, but you know, again, we weren't in the room. That's where it's hard for me to go to criticize because you weren't in the room. So All right. Oh, Sarah Palin has finally let us know what she reads.
Oh, wow. I've been waiting with bated breath.
By the way, Jim, could that show be any more sadistic to animal lovers? First she clubbed the halibut and then...
Well, you clubbed
the
halibut this morning.
I did not. I bought that halibut dead in the first place.
Is that what they're calling it now?
Well, how did it get dead?
No, I'm saying I understand that, you know, we all need to eat, and people go, well, somebody killed whatever it is you're eating. But, Jim, doesn't it just hook you out, this for entertainment? Like Aaron Sorkin says, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
And what's the difference?
What do you mean, what's the difference? The other is for people to eat. It's just sadistic.
Do we know she didn't eat that halibut?
That's the question I'm wondering, because I got no problem about killing your own food, but the only creatures that kill for fun are humans and cats, and only cats will keep doing it. Yeah, human and cats kill
cats,
for fun.
Yeah, cats kill for fun.
Only humans and cats kill for fun.
They don't need to.
By the way,
they're just playing.
Jim,
they accidentally open a jugular.
Just when you thought that show could not be more irritating, guess who's going to be on? Kate Gosselin. From John and Kate plus 8.
Why?
Well, now it's just Kate plus 8.
To raise the IQ level. What do you mean, why?
John's out of the picture now.
Us Weekly says the tension on camera or off camera was even worse than on camera. Someone close to Kate said she and Sarah had about as much chemistry as John Gosselin in a full-time job, according to D-Listed. They didn't speak off camera. She said the food and accommodations were terrible, and it was the worst she'd ever been on.
This is the worst trip I've ever been on.
D-Listed said they should have taken advantage of Kate and Sarah's hate for each other by staging a Mortal Kombat-like duel to the death.
There we go.
The wild animal animals and the hatchlings would have gathered around to scream, "Finish her! Finish her!"
Yeah, Kate Gosselin doesn't strike me as the outdoorsy type.
No.
She sends John out for that.
Yeah.
No, but neither does Sarah Palin. She seems like someone dressing up
Well, that's
a...
what Aaron Sorkin said. I work in television and film. I can tell exactly how far away from your makeup and hair trailer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Oh, we know what she reads now. That's the other breaking news. She told Barbara Walters. Mm-hmm. She had a little time to prepare.
She got that list. Yeah.
And what does she read?
I'm reading the best book right now, Dean Karnazes' book about being an ultramarathoner. I also read a lot of C.S. Lewis when I want some divine inspiration. I read Newsmax on
Newsmax?
The Wall Street Journal.
Oh, mm-hmm. the National Enquirer of conservative thought?
I read all our local papers, of course, in Alaska, because that's where my heart is.
And
oh, I see.
They are.
Until she goes to New York for all of her appearances.
Yes, and everywhere else around the country. Yeah, money grubbing. Okay. Mm-hmm. She tells Walter she's a voracious reader. It's all she ever does. Read.
Oh, sure.
Morning, noon, and night.
Now, I can't wait to see her in the debates.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, did we miss the Bristol Palin and Margaret Cho catfight? We'll have to have Margaret on to talk about this.
My money's on Margaret.
Yes. The superficial saying, Bristol Palin fired back at Margaret Cho's claim that Sarah Palin forced her daughter to appear on Dancing with the Stars to make up for getting pregnant during the 2008 election. And by Bristol Palin, I mean her mom's ghostwriter who wrote the following 8,000-word essay on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yes, here are the, give me some fun facts,
the
music,
lights.
Whatever, yes. She quote-unquote writes,
yeah.
It saddens me that people would think my mom would blame me for anything that occurred in the 2008 election. I think that's a canard.
Uh-huh. See, she doesn't know what a canard is.
But she said that in the Keith Olbermann fight, so people wouldn't think that she doesn't. I will set the record straight there. My mom already did in her best-selling book, Going Rogue.
Available now at bookstores everywhere.
Oh, let's see. There were a number of reasons President Obama won. Oh, the biggest of which is your mom's a dope, FYI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Why do I want to set the record straight? Because this type of hurtful and false narrative that people promote to make my mom look bad. Pretty much your mom opening her mouth makes her look bad.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. To my friend Margaret Cho, if you ever have a question, call me, girlfriend.
She didn't.
You say you don't agree with the family's politics at all, but I say if you understood that common sense conservative value supports the right of individuals like you, like all of us, to live our lives with less government. Oh, sure, she wrote this.
Yeah,
right.
With less government interference and more independence, then you would embrace us faster than Katie Lang at an Indigo Girls concert.
Oh, she makes a lesbian joke.
That's a lesbian joke.
Or her ghostwriter did.
Wow.
The superficial writing, this screed proves anything, is that the Palins are in constant campaign mode for 2012 and thankfully haven't learned that every time they refuse to let a story whiz by, they look like holes.
That sounds like it was written by Michelle Malkin.
It was practically a campaign speech. Jabs at Obama, folksy jokes, use of the word to canard to make her look like her earlier note about Keith Olbermann wasn't written by a ghostwriter, and probably most glaring, Bristol's first and primary concern was worrying about being exposed to the haters trying to stop her mom from saving America with a bowl full of buckshot and moose chili.
You know what's great? Kids today have no idea who Phyllis Schlafly is, and it's going to be that way with Carolyn in 15 years. We'll tell Sarah Palin jokes in 20 years, and some teenagers say, "Who's that?"
Hey, yeah, Stephanie?
That yes.
I think you know that the kids don't know who Phyllis Schlafly
is. Yes, I made a Phyllis Schlafly reference in my It Gets Better video.
That's right.
All the kids are like, who's the political girl with the...
Yes, but the kids not knowing Phyllis Schlafly is proof it gets better.
Yeah, that's labeling one.
That's what Tom Brokaw said.
Jen Stenger has said she will pursue no legal action against the NFL as long as they suspend Brett Favre.
For those naked pictures.
Listen, I would like a picture of all of your... If you don't mind, I would like them on my desk Monday morning. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Or we're fired?
I would love it.
Brett Favre just asked the TSA to give his naked picture so he can text them.
Oh, hey, speaking of, Jim Morrison has been pardoned. Did you hear that?
Yes.
40 years after Jim Morrison was convicted of exposing himself at a Miami concert, Florida's clemency board, egged on by departing Governor Charlie Crist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who did? Apparently, he doesn't have a problem with seeing
men. Well, he may have been there. Maybe he enjoyed seeing Jim Morrison's Shrunkle Jimmy.
He got pardoned. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are at the show insist even today that he did expose himself, although others and his bandmates contend he was just teasing and he didn't actually, whip it out.
Well, according to Oliver Stone, he whipped it out.
Well,
that's true.
In the movie.
Mm. Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And whipped it back into the left.
That's an Oliver Stone JFK thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Ben.
All right. Actually, The Doors was a really good movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good performance.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack, Tax Deal, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What? Hotel, motel. What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Elizabeth Edwards' family. Her funeral will be tomorrow in Chapel Hill, excuse me, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Her older daughter will give one of the eulogies along with her two best friends. John Edwards not scheduled to speak since he would be the first person since George Bush to get booed at a funeral.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
That wouldn't be good.
Yes. Oof. All right. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kev. Welcome.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
You know, I have more than I probably have time to say, but I did want to take a really quick second to thank you and John Fugelsang and people who have called in and emailed that have taken what I consider, in my opinion, a sober opinion of what Obama has been forced to do. Mm-hmm. And I wish more of us liberals would learn from the past. You know, Zogby polls showed that when Clinton was, when he lost the midterms and he was forced to compromise Republicans, oh, how liberals hated him and he was triangulated and all of that.
Yep.
And now, of course, they love him. I mean, don't we learn anything?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. No, I remember everybody said, oh, he's the best Republican president we've ever had. There was all that, you know, kind of snarkiness. Yep.
And we just lived through, I mean, in 2000, people said, oh, you know, there's no difference between Bush and Gore. And those same, and they voted for Nader, or they sat home, or whatever.
Right. And Kevin, you raise a good point, though. We don't agree with some of the things Clinton did, like NAFTA, like, you know, deregulating. Listen, that it hurt my business for sure, you know, in terms of radio.
But he had to. I mean, again, if instead of using this energy to bash, you know, the Tea Party came out of the fact that Obama was successful. They got all crazy because of the things he was able to succeed. If he hadn't been able to succeed, they would have sat home. So my suggestion is put your energy into saying, okay, we've got this situation. If this does pass, we have this situation. Instead of dissing him, put your anger on the obstructed Republicans that have forced him to this point and wrap this around their neck. Tell your neighbors, if you're in media, instead of bashing him, you know, use your energy and your power to wrap that around the Republicans so that we don't have another teabagger president or something.
Kevin, I love you, and I mean that in a wholesome and a dirty way.
Oh, thank you, babe. You just made my, you just made my year. But thank you.
Okay. All right. Oh, my friend Larry King, he's done one last mitzvah, Jim, before he goes. He might have saved Wesley Snipes.
Huh?
Didn't he go to prison, I think?
Yes. For his son as well.
Tax evasion, yes. He appeared on Larry King during the show. Larry read a statement from a member of the jury, though, that said there was one juror that said they knew Mr. Snipes was guilty right when they first saw him. During jury selection, Wesley's legal team immediately jumped into action and filed an emergency motion for a new trial based on juror misconduct.
Yeah.
Hello. That's... Wesley, hello.
Juror misconduct, hello.
By the way, can I do just one last bit of name dropping? I'm going to Larry King's farewell party next week. I'm very sad to see him go. They're having a fancy. I know. He's a one of a kind. They're having a fancy goodbye party at Spago or something.
Whatever.
Something that I'll embarrass myself in front of. Justin Bieber thinks his fans are crazy. He says some of them hide in dumpsters. Well, most of mine live in dumpsters, for God's sake. Listen, I've got some crazy fan stories that I can't really tell because of police action. All right, let's. Baywatch, you know her? I'm sure you do, Squeezy. Baywatch star and former Playboy playmate Donna D'Errico?
She's good.
Mm-hmm. She isn't happy about being selected recently by TSA agents at LAX for a full body scan.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my personal belief is that they pulled me aside because they thought I was attractive. Mm-hmm. After the search, I noticed the male TSA agent who had pulled me out of line smiling and whispering to two other TSA agents. Exactly. There's a lot of Squeezy McField Pence TSA agents. So, really, the best protection against going through the body scan is to be Coyote Ugly.
Yes.
Apparently, we're never going to get yanked out of line. Billy Joel. Yes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You.
Billy Joel, 61-year-old Billy Joel, reportedly dating a 29-year-old Morgan Stanley banker.
You go, boy.
See? He has split from his third wife.
Oh, wow.
His daughter claims he finds it hard to trust people. And I bet so do his first three wives.
Honesty.
Didn't he write I Love You Just the Way You Are?
He didn't
about
start
his first
fire.
Wife, and then he dumped her for Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
He could have dumped her for David Brinkley. That would be
no,
weird.
That would have been a scandal. Exactly.
Could I leave us with a quote from Air Force Colonel and Pentagon official Karen Kwiatkowski?
Sure.
She who blew the whistle in the Bush administration's efforts to concoct false intelligence about Iraqi WMDs. She says, this is obliquely related to the WikiLeaks thing. I've been told by reporters that they will not report their own insights or contrary evaluations on the official 9/11 story because no, to question the government story about 9/11 is to question the very foundations of an entire modern belief system regarding our government, our country, and our way of life. To be charged with questioning these foundations is far more serious than being labeled a disgruntled conspiracy nut or anti-government traitor, Julian Assange, or even being sidelined or marginalized within a blah, blah, blah career. To question the official 9/11 story is simply and fundamentally revolutionary. In this way, of course, questioning the official story is also simply and fundamentally American.
Stephanie in Madison with a more important question, and that is, what's up with Julian Assange's hair? Hello, Steph.
Yes. Isn't that like the weirdest thing? Sometimes it looks like a little plastic, like fake hair. And then sometimes it looks like he's like an Andy Warhol fan. I don't get it. You know?
It's a little troll-like. It's a little wispy Conan O'Brien-y. I know what you're saying. All right. Ozzy Osbourne says he won't give up sex until he's dead.
I won't give up sex until I'm dead.
He says he
but
thinks
Sharon
about,
will.
He says he thinks about sex constantly, and it's still one of his favorite activities. He said, I firmly believe the only time you'll ever get any peace from down below is when you're in the ground. I'm almost 62, and I still love a good game of Where's the Salami?
Oh, Where's the Salami? That's you got a big problem if that's what you're trying to play.
I got a phone. Okay. Sharon, he was here last night.
Getting anyone to play it with me is a different matter, he says. So he's speaking for Sharon, I guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Gore Vidal said the best thing about turning 70 was being freed from the tyranny of the male libido.
Oh, God.
Salma
and he had 20,000 men.
Yeah.
Salma Hayek says she was an illegal immigrant. I'm guessing the right wing feels like this the way they do about gay marriage. Not the hot chicks. We don't care about the hot chicks.
Yeah, bring them on.
We don't care about that.
Let freedom ring.
Fine. The Dream Act.
Caramba.
Says no.
No. The Dream Act, no. Salma Hayek.
Yes. Claro que sí.
An asshat of the week, the Baltimore Orioles player. Did you see this guy, Luke Scott?
Yeah.
Did you see this steroid piece of meat on television?
Great.
He said, Obama was not born here. That's my belief. I was born here. If someone accuses me of not being born here, I can go within 10 minutes to my filing cabinet and pick out my birth.
He's thinking of McCain. You know, that's the one thing. Obama and Rahm Emanuel hatched this plot and just laughed their butts off for years because it just makes them look like morons. The state of Hawaii, folks, in case you don't know, went digital in 2001.
Right.
There are no more birth certificates.
Yes, that is the birth certificate. Thanks. All right, JohnFugelsang.com. Sorry, John, we kept losing you.
I know. I was just going to say how sorry I feel for the Haitian people now that Palin's going there. They've suffered enough.
Yes.
Thank you.
Karaoke bar. Great show.
Sorry.
Chris passed out on the board. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Always
for
a pleasure, kids.
All right. Thank you, baby. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and somebody.
Misty Heckler.
Misty is in today for Miranda. Thank you, Misty. That's it for us. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.